Good evening, church. I hope that you brought a Bible. Please turn with me to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. It's the last Sunday of the month, and in this evening service, we have been taking these times to reflect and to remind one another about the themes that have been introduced throughout the month in our sermons. And this month, it's been about worship and the beginning of our worship God. And so the scriptures selected tonight, as well as the songs for praise, are really those that are going to give us a meditation, a contemplation about the greatness of our God and how truly He is worthy of honor and adoration. And we're going to have a time of just praising Him. But we are asking all of the congregation to be working together tonight and singing these songs to bring the lessons home. In the beginning of our worship, God. And while I'll be sharing some other scriptures as well, I'm really asking you to open your Bible to Psalm 145. Because we're going to be walking through this psalm together, again, with the idea, with the heart, of thinking about the greatness and the worth of God and the joy it is to praise and to worship Him. We're thinking first about God who is worthy of worship. And the first three songs are going to be emphasizing that. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Our God, He is alive. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. But before we sing these blessed truths together, let's think about some scriptures. God is worthy of worship. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 3 and verse 24, O Lord God, You have begun to show Your servant Your greatness and Your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like Your works and Your mighty deeds? Isn't that something for Moses, of all people, to say to God, You have begun to show Your servant Your greatness, Your mighty hand? Because I think about all that Moses saw with the demonstrations of miracles and plagues upon Egypt as God chose Moses to lead His chosen people from their bondage and humble the greatest nation on earth. Chose Moses to pen books like Genesis to talk about where we came from by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, the mighty works of God. He asked the question, is there any God in heaven on earth who can do anything like Your works, Your mighty deeds? And the answer is no. God, God alone is worthy of worship. As we make our way to Psalm 145, I want to share with you Psalm 106, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can declare all His praise? Who can declare it? Well, His people are to declare it, but who can declare all of His praise? You see, worship never expires because we never exhaust God's worth. There is always more that can be told, that can be said about His mighty deeds, His greatness, who He is, and what He has done. Indeed, who can declare all His praise? And yet that brings me to Psalm 145. Look at Psalm 145 and notice with me verse 1. I will extol You, my God, O King. And I will bless Your name forever and ever. I don't know who can tell it all, but David said, I will. I will tell it. I will praise it. As we go on in this psalm together to verses 8 and 9, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His work. David said, I will extol His praise, and that's my heart. And I hope that's your heart tonight as we begin to extol His praise. Because God, God alone, is worthy of worship. God, God alone, is mighty of these great deeds. His power and majesty, goodness and grace. And so we will sing, Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. We're going to sing, Our God, He is alive. And we're going to sing, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. Brother Tim's going to come forward and lead us in those three songs. God is worthy of worship. Let's worship Him now.
Praise God, come who all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures, hear Him. praise our living God by standing and singing. There, our God, He is alive. Do mi so.
There is beyond the
so well standing up. We all stay together very fast. Might ask you to stand up all the time. Let's concentrate as we sit then as well. Do so.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Brother Tim's right. Y'all are singing out, standing up or seated down, and it's wonderful to praise God in song together. One of the big thoughts that we have been exploring this month is the importance, when we think about our worship and worshiping God, it is to worship God alone. And we are to cast out idols. Very powerful teaching about that. Early on in the month, we become what we worship. And I'll not preach all of that sermon over again, but to call to your attention some of the reading from that message, Psalm 135, verses 15 through 18, the idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them, so is everyone who trusts in them. We become what we worship. And in crying out against idolatry, as this psalm does, it makes it very clear the futility in it. To be crafting your gods out of gold and silver or wood or stone, to be bowing down to these things that you have fashioned, they are not alive. Mouths and they don't speak, ears they don't hear, eyes they don't see, they are not alive. And the scary thing is, these words, those who make them are like them. And to bow down to the futility of the idols is to kill ourselves spiritually. We become dead as they are. It is not so with the true and living God. He does see, and He does hear, He does move, and He is mighty. No, we become what we worship. And yet we realize that most of us are not tempted to spend our Saturday nights at temples around here bowing down to giant statues of golden cows or otherwise. And yet, we must search our hearts and purge our hearts of idols that would creep in. Be the not golden calves, but just gold and greed and covetousness. The lusts of our flesh, does our stomach, our appetites become our God? Is it entertainment? We like to turn off our minds and turn off our hearts to just be amused through life. And anything that is challenging to us, we will not have because entertainment has become our God. No, we cast out idols to worship God and God alone. Look at Psalm 145 and notice with me verse 10. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. Now look at this. All of God's works, His creation, because He is living. What did we learn the idols are? The works of our hands. But in truth, we are the works of God's hands. All of God's works and all of God's people, all of His saints will do what? Bless Him. Praise Him. Look at verse 11. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. All of God's works and all of God's people are going to speak out, cry out, and tell of God's glory, God's power, God's majesty, God's acts, and God's dominion. And our God does act. That's what we read in verses 14, 15, and 16. Because our God sees, and our God hears, and our God responds, He opens His hands, and He provides. We worship our God, the only God, and we cast out all idols, and God search our heart that we might see them and purge them out. We're going to sing a song that talks about that process right now. It's called None of Self and All of Thee. We're going to sing another song about this process of surrender. All the idols gone. Only God. We want only God. I surrender all. And then we'll sing about His provision in Christ alone. Let's sing these songs and these truths together. We cast out all idols. We will worship only God. Brother Tim?
Domi. Sing all three verses and then the chorus. this one I'd like to try something a little different. On verse 2, in the beginning of verse 3, we're going to go a little bit slower, a little bit softer, and even take out the dotted 8/16ths and just make them eighth notes. In Christ alone. Do so.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, his solid ground. Firm with his steps out and storm. What heights above, what depths of peace. When fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my hope in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who's the one flesh, fullness of God in love the same. This gift of love and righteousness sworn by the ones he named to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied for every sin.
How good it is to see people of all ages in this room singing to the God and learning to sing to God these praises, bowing in prayer and learning to bow together in prayer. How good it is that all generations might be mixed together in this place to worship the true and living God. And one of the important things that we've talked about this month is how God's people are a light to this world, to show people who God is and to worship God. But indeed, our own children and our grandchildren, how important it is that future generations come to know and come to worship God. And we see this value in Psalm 145 as well. In Psalm 145 and verse 4, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. How important it is that we tell our children about God's great goodness and about His righteousness. About how we declare to the children and to the grandchildren, again, of God's wondrous works, of His mighty deeds, and of His glory and of His splendor. Our children learn so many things from watching their parents. And who God is and how to feel about Him is one of those things. They can sense from a very early age the difference between duty and delight. Or perhaps dread and delight. And so we want to have the heart of the psalmist always. To be joyful. To worship God. Whoever we might have the opportunity to worship with in this place. And certainly as we are leading by example to worship God to our children and to our grandchildren. We show them to worship God and how good it is that we worship intergenerationally, families worshiping together in this place at Livingston Church. We're going to sing together a song, Alleluia, and how every day we need the Lord, and in our home we need the Lord. We're showing future generations to serve and to worship God. We're going to sing a song together, Dare to Stand Like Joshua, who of Old Testament heroes certainly embodies with his statement, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, embodies that commitment to show future generations to worship God. We're going to sing Alleluia and Dare to Stand Like Joshua. And everyone in the room is invited to sing and sing out. Brother Tim.
Dos, oh. Appropriate that we stand.
you would be seated. And we're looking at Psalm 145. Psalm 145. Thinking about this, as we sort of conclude some of these remarks tonight, we're going to look a little more at Psalm 145, sing three songs, and then I got a couple of words to wrap up after that. But God's worship is true. It must be true. And of course, God's worship is timeless. He is always worthy. And so we shall continue to laud Him and praise Him and glorify Him, time without end. On this thought that God's worship is true, Edwin read to us and brought our attention this morning, I think quite well, to John chapter 7 and verse 18. Where the Lord Jesus made the statement, if I speak on my own authority, if one speaks on his own authority, it is to bring glory to Him. And the point is that we must work and worship in accord with the Word of God and by His authority, and so that we bring glory to Him. His Word is our standard. And while we look at things like the Lord's Supper, as we did last week, or we think about our song worship, as we did this morning, our desire is to be in accord with His Word, that all the glory go to Him. It is to be true. And then notice this about it being forever. In Psalm 145 and verse 1, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. In verse 2, every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Notice how the psalm comes to conclusion in verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. When is it a good time to praise the Lord? When is a good time to offer Him our devotion? We might answer that with another question. Well, when is it a bad time to praise the Lord? When is it a bad time to offer Him our devotion? I think it's so important that we come together collectively as a body, this church, on the first day of the week and from time to time. That's important. That's so important. But the psalmist says, every day. And the psalmist says, forever and ever. May we never limit our praise to God to just the assembly. But as we have a life that would serve Him and seek to praise Him day after day and time without end, it is just a wonderful overflow to have some time week in and week out with those like precious faith who want to do the same thing. It's good to worship collectively. It's good to worship individually, to praise Him. Because God's worship is true, and it is forever and ever. We're going to sing about this truth of worship. We're going to sing together wonderful words of life. And we're going to sing true worship. Again, underscoring the ideas that if we are doing it according to God's word, it is for His glory, not our own. And then we'll sing when we all get to heaven, going right along with this idea of forever and ever. Brother Tim, come lead us as we think about God's worship being true and timeless.
Sing the Lord again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life that beauty
Jesus, we'll also do the three verses and then the chorus. Do me.
Oh, we come to you.
Thank Brother Tim for doing such a fine job leading our songs of worship this evening. We ask the song leader on these nights to lead a few more than they usually do. Did a fine job. And I want to thank all of you for lifting up your voice and singing along, because what we have sung are lessons. We have taught, we have affirmed, we have professed tremendous truths about in the beginning of our worship is God. We worship God alone. We want to worship according to truth in our full spirit. We want to set a good example now to be teaching those coming along us and those who see us who the true God is and to worship Him. And yet, if you've had your Bible open to Psalm 145 tonight, you know there's been a couple of verses I haven't talked about just yet. And so I'm going to do that at this time. And then we're going to sing one more song together when all of God's singers get home. And that will be a song of invitation. The verses I've been saving till this moment are Psalm 145 and verses 17 through 20. Says something else to us about God. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear the cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. This holy God, whom we love, whom we serve, whom we worship, is righteous and has created a wonderful world. And yet sin has corrupted that world. As individuals made choices to go against the word of God and the will of God, they sinned against him and brought about a judgment, a death, a separation between them and God spiritually. That ultimately a holy and just God cannot allow to stand through eternity. There is coming a day of judgment when the Lord shall preserve his people, those whom he saves, and there will be a destruction upon the wicked. He has sent forth his Son, the Savior Jesus Christ, to pay for sin, to die upon the cross, the wages of death. And after paying for not his own sins, he was sinless, but for my sins and your sins. Then to make a good news known that forgiveness, reconciliation, and new life is found in him and by his truth. Indeed, those who call upon this Lord, he will hear them. Those who call upon the Lord in truth, he has shared away in his gospel. That we might come to him on his terms. To know him as Savior. We will take him as Lord. And we will be obedient to his truth. It says he will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. For those who will hear his word and the word of Christ and respond to it, he will save them. And we've come to a time in this service when we want to allow any who would respond to the word of Christ to do so, and he will save them. There was a preacher in the New Testament by the name of Ananias, who had the opportunity to go and speak the words of life to one Saul of Tarsus. Saul had met the Lord on the road. He knew what Jesus was about. He knew that he lived. Though he suffered this death upon the cross, he lived. He wanted to do what the Lord would tell him to do, that he might have life. This preacher Ananias asked Saul the question, "Why are you waiting? Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord." Why are you waiting to respond to this Lord, this Jesus? Call upon him, respond in truth by being baptized, immersed in water, to have your sins washed away. Call upon him. Come to him in truth, according to his word. He will hear and he will save. And it is the gospel invitation open to all in this room. Is there one here tonight who's ready to put the Lord on in baptism? Will you confess you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Repent and turn from sin in your life? Will you be immersed in water to have your sins washed away? To call upon him so that he might save? The good God who is worthy of all your worship, he calls. He calls for the gospel. If you would come to him now and call upon him now in the same acts of obedience as that Saul of Tarsus of long ago, we'll help you take that step. If we can minister to that or any other spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make it known now. Together we stand and sing. Won't you come?
What a song of delight.
The city is so bright. We'll be welcome.